Last summer, Governor Jay Inslee signed a bill that added $7.3 billion to Washington's K-12 public schools. The money is for teacher salaries. Lawmakers overhauled the formula for how that money is distributed to the nearly 300 districts throughout the state.
Lawmakers decided to tie the amount that they give school districts for salaries to local housing values, saying, you know, it's really expensive to live in your district. We'll give you more money so your teachers and principals can live and work there as well.
That's Neil Morton, who covers education for the Seattle Times. He says, as a result, some needier districts are getting a smaller boost than wealthier ones. He explained how this could play out by comparing two districts, Lake Washington and Tacoma.
So I found that on paper, these districts look pretty similar. They both enroll about the same number of students, have similar special education rates. However, when it comes to how many students are living in poverty, they're pretty different. In wealthy Lake Washington, only about 1 in 10 students come from low-income homes. In Tacoma, it's a lot higher at a staggering 58%.
So under this funding plan, then, how much additional funding are each of these districts getting?
So last year, lawmakers approved a 4-year spending plan for K-12 schools. And by the 2020-2021 school year, Lake Washington, which, as I said, has much fewer students living in poverty, will get about $3,200 more per pupil than they do currently. Tacoma, meanwhile, will just get about $1,000 in new money, which doesn't make sense to a lot of school districts with poor kids. Shouldn't they be getting more money than wealthier districts to help their students who have more needs in the classroom?
So like many of us, teachers want to be able to live near where they work. Isn't there an argument to be made that housing values should or, you know, would determine teacher pay?
Part of the job that the Supreme Court gave lawmakers last year was find a way to pay for market rate wages for people who work in schools. And there were a lot of proposals on the table. This one, from what lawmakers told me, makes the most sense to them. Whether they tweak that in the future is an open question, although the law does require them to do that every 6 years.
So the state is using a formula that ties teacher salaries to housing values. And you spoke with some experts about this approach. And what did they tell you about that?
They told me it's not very wise because wealthy school districts who have higher housing values, they're going to get more money to pay higher salaries, to attract the best teachers, to pay for extra programs. And so that will attract more families who want to go to those schools. And when those families move, it might create a bidding war that in turn raise housing values even more. So the state will have to give them more money. And it is a good thing in those districts. But then you go to less well-off districts and they already don't have the money to recruit those same teachers. They don't have the money to pay for those extra programs. And so people may move away, depressing housing values, and then they would get less money in future years. So it creates this downward spiral for them and this upward spiral for the already better off.
Neil, you've also reported that this education bill was rushed through under the threat of a government shutdown last year. What was the impact of that?
So last year, about 36 hours before the shutdown would have happened, lawmakers unveiled their school's budget, and then they voted on it, and then the governor signed it. There was no real time for school districts to weigh in and say, hey, we think this might not have the impact you're hoping, or it will have these unintended consequences. So there was no room for public input. Almost immediately after the budget was passed, folks said, we're worried about this, and it's taken several months for the proof to be in the pudding.
You've been talking with some districts who are not happy about this situation. What have they told you?
So they've told me that they want to get a solution to this as soon as possible. Obviously, this is a 4-year budget, so there's some time, but the new funding levels kick in starting in fall 2018. So really, there's only about a week to get these solutions in place before it's set in stone. You have districts like Tacoma going to Olympia every day, pounding on their lawmakers' doors, testifying in hearings to make sure they understand what's going to happen to the children in Tacoma if these aren't fixed.
And what kind of reception are they getting?
It seems they're being heard. I think lawmakers are admitting they maybe didn't know exactly how this was all going to play out, and they're open to finding a way to maybe refine and smooth out these rough edges that they didn't expect.
That's Neil Morton. He covers education for the Seattle Times. I tweeted out a link to his story. You can follow me at Kim on KUOW.